Working with college students from UNT, TWU, now with MSU, I come to find out that in this day and age, dating on the internet had its own advantage and many of its disadvantages. I have learned of apps that college students nowadays use to hook up with one another. One popular is called Tinder, and I'm not even mentioning the one that is just for sex itself. But yet, there's a real prevalent hookup culture that cheapens relationships nowadays, that objectify people on looks and how they can be desired, and leave many hurt because they simply judge and look at themselves at how attractive, how appealing, or worthy in the casual exchange department. Our world no longer looks at adultery as wrong, but simply as a required part of a relationship, as a deposit to make sure that one is committed or able to give into the exchange. Unlike the woman in the gospel today who was not proud of the life she was living, perhaps stuck or wasn't given a chance to seek another alternative because she was marked, known, or carried the stigma. We often think that casual sexual relationships nowadays in our postmodern world are perfectly fine and are expected at a hedonistic gauge for intimacy and satisfaction. We don't want to talk about the destructive and detrimental effects of the over-sexualizing world and the objectification of people for the sake of freedom and choices. Yet, the ignored elephant in the room is destroying so many people's, especially their dignity, their lives, and their relationship with one another. Many relationships I have seen as a priest are challenged or come to an end when the performance in the bedrooms get poor or when it become a minuscule. Why? Because we equate intimacy with sexuality. We have objectified one another. Our world has become more hypocritical and pharisaical. It's hypocritical in its true sense, wearing a mask of self-righteousness or revolutionary progress to hide the broken reality behind it. It puts the blame on others, the past, and those who are different than itself, yet at the same time excuse itself from its own wrongdoings. It's easier to us to point out the failures of other people around us, to make us feel good about ourselves as if we're more superior than the past and other people around us, pointing finger but excusing ourselves for everything. Many times we have become like the Pharisees from of old, using the law, changing its interpretations, or creating new ones to fit our lifestyles. We have become so impoverished and yet more proud of ourselves without knowing and accepting our need to repent, changing our lives, and especially the need of redemption that comes from Christ. We have turned to the habit of excusing everything without needing to change our lives for love. My brothers and sisters, today's mass collect or the opening prayer is so beautiful. It said, "By your help we beseech you, Lord our God, may we eagerly, with the same charity with which our love for the world, your Son handed himself over to death." We're asking that we might love like Christ in giving himself over for the sake of the world by dying for love. My brothers and sisters, I am sad to say this. I have been on both sides of the story today. I have lived both extreme. I was at times in the past eagerly to throw the first stone or stood with the mob in the crowd, condemning those whom I envied or those whom I disliked. I was also, at times in the past, what shamed and sinned against God and my fellow human beings. It's so easy, my brothers and sisters, to be in the either or of the two extremes. But Jesus today took a different route. He took the third option. He took something that was outside of our feeble mind and understanding. Jesus loves us in our brokenness, but he does not just want us to continue living as if nothing is wrong. He wants us to truly work on ourselves and overcome our sins with his grace. He had compassion on the adulterous woman, forgave and told her to go and sin no more. He was compassionate toward her because he was merciful toward her brokenness, especially her distraught in being condemned by others. Perhaps even by those who have frequented the dark valley or look the other ways when peoples that they know sinned. He called out the Pharisees today and the elders because they were too busy condemning her without knowing or without looking at their own faults and their need of conversion. He looked beyond the mob and the crowd and its movers and shakers to call out the individuals in it. And that's why he told whoever is without sin to throw the first stone. He patiently wrote on the ground something that made them think. Slowly, each one retreated. There's a real and personal need of conversion here in the gospel story. The call to calm down, to look at ourselves, to be humbled and open up our hearts, recognizing our sins and return back to God, especially the commitment not to sin no more, not simply to condemn others, to excuse ourselves. Jesus freed the adulterous woman today from the mob of self-righteousness and her enslaved and cheapened life of casual exchange. He freed her from the objectification of others as to live a new life as the child of God. She was liberated by the Savior to be someone that society never allowed her to be in the past, because he reached out, took the time, lifted her up, and gave her the power to rise above what held her back, the power to overcome sin, a power of a new future, the power that's based on his forgiveness, his mercy, his compassion, and his love. Oftentimes, my brothers and sisters, we have spent so much time to become whoever we would like to be, or waste time to throw rocks at others that we don't like. We have spent much effort to become someone who we are not, as to be loved and to prove ourselves to others. Yet many times we have all ended up enslaving ourselves with the exact same things that this world wants of us and from us. Even though our society talks much about progress, revolution, liberation, and freedom, it enslaves us in its own arrogance and self-righteousness by bashing others to justify and become something or someone attractive, appealing, or accepted by the mass. True freedom is only found in receiving the mercy of God, living in his grace, and the personal commitment of trying our best to sin no more. My brothers and sisters, the greatest joy for us as Christians is knowing who we are and who we belong to in the love of the one who formed us out of love. If we fail, and we will fail, don't justify our faults by blaming others or trying to stone other people to make ourselves feel good. Look at the Savior. Confess our sins and be reconciled with Him. The greatest gift, worth more than gold or any precious treasure, is knowing who we are, loved by Him, and to live in that loving grace. Let us confirm one another and be confirmed in the love of God with what St. Paul has said today in the second reading. I consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have accepted the loss of all things, and I consider them so much rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him.